Blog Talk Radio.
By Design Show, Buenos Tardes, Bonjour, wherever you're listening in from, we welcome you to our show this evening. I hope you have been keeping up with us for the month of November because we have been focusing on a very critical topic that is just sweeping our nation, and that's the issues that our teens are facing. Our teens are our leaders of tomorrow, and we must stand up and take a stand for some of these issues that are just really taking over and taking control. We've had some fantastic guests on tap this entire month, and tonight is no different. We have an outstanding guest who's going to talk to us about something extremely important that all families need to know about and understand and learn how to deal with, and that's teen pregnancy as well as some other teen issues. Tonight we have with us Ms. Chantel Cotton, and she is founder of Inspree. Now, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but we will find out here shortly. She is the author of a book, I Promise Me, and another upcoming book entitled Why Do I Say Yes When I Should Be Saying No, along with the Why Do I Say Yes program. She is an advocate for teaching and coaching teens, college-age girls, and young women who are saying yes when they should be saying no, how to love themselves enough to make better choices in life. Overcoming obstacles is never an easy task, especially when the obstacles include teen pregnancy, physical and verbal abuse. So I am going to bring my guest on the line, and we're going to have a fantastic conversation this evening about this very critical topic. Good evening, Chantel. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fabulous. Wonderful, wonderful. And it's called Inspire.
Inspire. Okay, Inspire. I got you. It's just spelled a little bit differently. I like that. Very creative, very creative. Well, now since we're talking about it, go ahead and tell, give us your website address so that we can have that right up front, and then we'll do it again at the end of the discussion.
It's www.whydoisayyes.com.
Excellent. Now, that's very easy to remember. WhyDoISayYes.com. So we invite you to visit Chantel's website and check out some of her products and services that she offers in this very critical area. Now, Chantel, let's just jump right into the discussion this evening because this is something that is very near and dear to my heart because I've had a lot of friends who have had to deal with this issue, this teen pregnancy issue, and this why do these girls say yes when they should be saying no?
A lot of the reasons I get when I go out and I speak with young girls is they tell me that various things. Some is just a lack there of knowledge, not knowing the truth, not knowing what's real and what's not. Some of it is because they want to fit in. They want to be a part of a crowd. They don't want to be the non-cool chick in the group. A lot of it is because they lack self-esteem and self-worth. They don't have anyone that that they can look up to, that talks to them and keeps them on the straight and narrow. That's a lot of the feedback I get from the girls when I speak with them.
Now, as far as lacking the self-esteem and self-worth, they probably don't realize that they lack that. That's what you're diagnosing from the conversations you're having with them, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even,
mm-hmm.
And in some areas, they don't even know what that means.
Oh, wow. I can believe that. Now, let's talk a little bit about the role models that they have in their lives. How is that playing? I know that plays a significant role. Do they understand that lack of adequate role models is part of the problem, or do they just not even realize or recognize that?
It depends. Some of them do. Some of them are aware of it, and some of them are not. But what I have discovered is that a lot of the children are, they do what their mothers do. And so their mothers are their role model, and they think that if their mom has several different boyfriends that come in and out of the house, that that's okay. So there's no standard that's been set, or no precedence, or no guidelines, or no boundaries been set. So they, and then they get, they're getting educated, and they're being taught from television.
That's true. That's so true. What are some of the things that we can do? Let's say that there are situations, there are some parents out there who are really, really trying, and the bad influences are coming from the friends that they're hanging around, and then, like you said, the TV shows that they're looking at, and there may be some, maybe they're single parents, and they're doing the best they can, but they work, and they're really trying hard to keep their girls on the straight and narrow, but with all these negative influences in the media and in schools and, you know, lack of self-esteem, like you said, what can a parent do to try to help with this problem?
The communication is very big. They need to keep the lines of communication open to where the child feels that they're comfortable enough to come to them and speak to them about issues or just concerns that they have. They need to be very distinct between the two. They need to establish the boundary of I am the parent. However, they also need to be able to establish a boundary of I was once in your place, and I faced the same fears, the same issues, and the same trials that you had, but this is what I did. With this day and age of this group, Generation X, I call them, you kind of have to meet them where they are. They don't receive when you talk at them. But if you talk with them and you let them feel that they're that you're on the same level during the conversation, not all the time, but during the conversation or whatever it is that's going on, then they're more apt to open up and to talk to you about things. You have to make them know that it's okay, you were there, you made mistakes before, you weren't perfect, but if you have a situation or an issue that comes up, I'm your mother, I'm your father, I'm your parent, or whoever it is that's the caregiver at that time, and it's okay to come talk to me, because I have your best interest at heart.
That's so true. Let's talk a little bit about the father figure in a young girl's life. We know how critical that is, because that's the first relationship young girls have with a male. And if they don't have, even if they have a father present, but he's not present, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
His physical body is there, but his emotions and his minds and his attention is not there. What are some things that single parent mother can do to try to help with that situation? Or is there nothing she can do that, you know, the father's just not around?
Well, first of all, I think that they need to make sure they educate, that they need to be honest with the child and explain to them the absence there of the father, try to, you know, be the best mother that they can be to them. In some cases, you're never going to be able to replace the role of a man because we weren't built that way. But there are other people and things that are in place, like Big Brother, Big Sister. There are programs out there that can give them that or another figure in the family, like a grandfather or an uncle, or maybe a male friend that's raised right, that's a good friend that could, be a type of positive role model to the child, so the child can have a healthy image of a father figure in the life. And then also, from a spiritual level, I think it's important that they know that they have a spiritual father, a father who knew them before their mother even knew them, before they were formed in their mother's womb, that says that they were fearfully, wonderfully made and knows every hair on their head. I think it's important that they understand that there is a spiritual father that they have as well as the physical father.
Amen.
Other than that, the parent do the best that they can, because as myself, I was a teen mother, which is where all of my ministry comes from. I was a two-time teen mom, got pregnant first time I ever had sex, and the second time I ever had sex. I had both parents in the house, But I had neither of them that spoke to me about things. They were providers. You know, my father went to work every day. My mother went to work. They put a roof over my sister and brother and I's head, and they made sure that we had clothes on our backs, and they did certain things, and we, you know, were afforded luxuries. But when it came down to, you know, the communication and the facts of life and those areas, they just didn't know. That just wasn't their thing. I've accepted the fact that that's just, you know, they did the best that they could, and that's the reason why, you know, they didn't sit me down and talk to me about certain things. However, growing up and not understanding that was something different. So I love both of my parents dearly, and I understand, you know, they were young when they got married, and they did what they knew how. But I also took the things that I did not receive, and I instilled them in my children because I didn't want them to have to go through the things that I went through growing up. I wanted them to have a healthy, functional, normal childhood with no disruption. And I feel like a person, if you know better, a person know better, they do better. So you teach them and educate them and inform them of the things and knowing that they're going to make mistakes. However, they will be able to make more informed choices and decisions because their mother or their father or whatever that role model is in their life that their caregiver told them. So when they come into a situation that may be compromising of themselves, they can think about what their mother taught them. Well, my mama said, if this happens, that this could possibly be it. And she's the one who puts the roof over my head. She's the one who makes sure I'm okay. When I'm sick, she takes care of me. She's probably telling me the right thing. Maybe I shouldn't go left. Instead, maybe I shouldn't go that way. I'm going to go ahead and go over here to the right. So, with that being said, I don't know if I kind of got off track enough.
Well, no. That was fantastic. I absolutely love you opening up about your own personal experience. That always helps to connect better with our listeners, and that's fabulous. I'm glad you were able to share that. I would like to ask you, you know, just dig a little deeper there, if you don't mind sharing. When you experienced your first situation, your first teen pregnancy, what was the level of your, did you feel like you needed validation? I mean, when you got involved with a young boy, were you guys experimenting, or did you actually feel like you needed that validation because you wanted that boy to like you and tell you you were pretty and, you know, give you the validation that you needed as a teen? Because our teens go through so many different changes with their appearance and with their bodies, and they need that validation from the opposite sex to let them know they're pretty and they're, you know, that they're desirable. So is that what it was for you?
Actually, no. Mine was a real crazy situation. I was very naive, very gullible. I was the type of child that wanted to know everything. It's just that the things that I was learning was not correct, were incorrect. I had a mother that didn't talk to me. Like I said, she was a provider. She was great. I go to her, ask her questions. She would shun me away. I would go to somebody else, my grandmother. She would tell me what she could, but it just wasn't enough. So I was in search of answers to certain things. My father works for the railroad, and he got transferred to, I was born in Illinois, and he got transferred to Nebraska, of all places. And so when I was going to go into my high school year, I got uprooted out of, you know, from going from kindergarten all the way up to junior high, getting ready to go into high school with all my friends I grew up with, and I got uprooted and had to start high school in a whole new city where I knew no one. And so in my case, I was trying to make friends, and I fortunately was brought up in a predominantly white neighborhood and an affluent neighborhood, and we were the only black family in our neighborhood, actually. So I was I was put on the bus with the kids to desegregate, is that the word, desegregate the school? So I wanted friends. So my thing was trying to be the new girl in town and trying to get friends, where black girls didn't like me. They thought I was bougie and I was rich, and I live with the white kids. So, you know, they gave me a hard time to develop friendships. The only black friends I had were ones who lived in similar neighborhoods as mine. So here I am, a new girl, don't know anybody, want to make friends. I try out for the cheerleading squad. I make the cheerleading team. So I have that. Those girls are my friends. But anything outside of that, I had to prove or had to do certain things to try and get friendships. So one of the things I fell for was this group of girls that I thought were so, you know, the great, they said, you know, that's what I had to do in order to be a part of it, and that they were having sex, and that if I was, something was wrong with me for not, and this and that and the third, and I really didn't know much about sex, didn't really know, and the things that I learned weren't correct. So I actually ended up having sex the first time out of merely trying to fit in. and wanted to be a, wanted to belong to something. So I fell for the okie doke, and then to come to find out, had sex at one time. It was not that great. I didn't understand what the big hoopla was, and they weren't even having sex. I was just that gullible. I was that gullible. Yeah, and I just unfortunately.
And that happened.
Yeah, ended up getting pregnant. So I was trying to be accepted. That's what my thing was. I wasn't even trying to be validated by a boy because at that time, I didn't even have low self-esteem. I thought I was, like, the best thing that, I mean, I was, you know, thought I was just gorgeous and beautiful. And my self-esteem wasn't an issue at that time. My self-esteem didn't go downhill until after I was what I call tarnished. After I had things that I know now that I teach young people that I didn't understand as far as what your body is and how the temple and how precious it is and how much power we hold because of what we have been given by God. I didn't know all that back then. So I didn't have issues with self-esteem and emotional and depression and things like that until after that.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So when you did start having the self-esteem issues and the emotional issues, what brought that on? Because you started learning and you started realizing that you made a mistake and you became a teenager. Okay, so you were kind of like not forgiving of yourself.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And I felt like I had been, in modern day sense, hoodwinked and bamboozled. I felt tricked. I felt like I, you know, but then I still didn't learn because I still dealt with the fact that I was trying to be accepted, even with me getting pregnant the first time. I still ended up getting pregnant again a year later, well, within 13 months of that, because of the fact that I still, it just was a downhill cycle after that. It's like it went downhill.
Wow.
So I ended up pregnant again the second time. I didn't even know a condom and a rubber were the same thing. I had no idea what they, it was, you know, you can't possibly get, I believe the myth, you know, you can't get pregnant the first time you ever have sex. You know, I just really didn't know. And the funny thing about it is when I did find out that I was pregnant, which was not until like 5 months in, because I didn't show, I didn't have morning sickness. I threw up one time. I just was a really petite little girl and I started gaining weight. And so my grandmother noticed that I was putting on some weight. And she's like, something ain't right. And I would come home for cheerleading practice and I would sleep. You know, I'd do my homework and I'd go to sleep. So she noticed my behavior had changed because apparently I was a real outgoing little girl. And so she took me to the doctor and the doctor did the exam and told her that, you know, I was 5.5 months pregnant. I'm like, what? Oh my gosh, you know. And I was like, well, I only had sex once. You know, you're not supposed to be able to get pregnant once. I just thought, I didn't, you know anything was wrong. And the doctor confirmed with my grandmother, rest her soul, that I was telling the truth. He told them that my hymen was barely broken.
Wow.
And so, that you know, that I was really telling the truth. Yeah, she's probably telling the truth. She only had sex one time. And I was like, I didn't even like it.
And let's talk about that, the safe sex, because that's a major issue. I mean, you know, back in the day, safe sex, you know, okay, so you don't use protection. Well, the worst thing that can happen is that, yes, you may get pregnant. But now in today's world, the worst thing that could happen is you could die because you could get a disease that could kill you. So, I mean, safe sex is so very important in these days and times, not just for pregnancy, but for AIDS and all of these other devastating diseases. So, you know, what can you say to the young girls out there who are having unprotected sex because the boyfriend or the male involved is saying, oh, I don't like the way the condom feels and this and that and this and that. And, you know, you have to enforce that. If you're going to engage in sex, you've got to be aware that safe sex can you know, it can save your life today.
Right. And what I do tell is I'm a very, very, very advocate of no sex at all. So when
absolutely.
I do speak to
abstinence.
Them about
abstinence.
It, I encourage them that they can become born-again virgin, that they can be cleansed of their what has happened and just abstain from having sex altogether. I explained to them that not only that it used to be back in the day, you have sex with somebody, you might get something that you get some penicillin and they cure it, or you get
right.
a baby. But now you can get up and there are 32 diseases that you can contract, and three of them you can never get rid of. Do you want something that you have to deal with for the rest of your life? And that can shorten your life, you know, just because you made one choice of having sex before marriage. I also, I like to give information. I like to inform because teenagers need to know why. they need to know the when, where, why, and how, and what makes it so, you know, this. So I like to inform them from a spiritual level how sex was made for the marriage bed. It's made for marriage. It is a good thing. It is made for marriage. However, it's only made for one purpose, it's one person, and that's the one that God tailor-made for you. I encourage the ones who are still virgins that are being pressured into having sex, I tell them to say this one thing, and I got this from a lady named Pam Stenzel. She's an advocate for teen pregnancy prevention as well. I tell them, you tell them this. While they're out there having sex and doing all those things, that you can become like them any day of the week, but they can never be like you. Because when it's gone, it's
like
gone,
that.
And you can never give it back. So
that's
you tell
right.
them that, and you hold on to what it is that you have that is precious and that is yours, and it's only meant for one man, for you to commence your marriage. Commence the marriage on your marriage bed on the night of your marriage. I said, and when you are in that moment and you have sex with your husband, you're going to bleed. I said, in you guys' terms, I'll say pop the cherry. Okay, well, that blood that you bleed that goes onto your husband's penis is the favor that God is going to have over your husband so he can cover your family. Now, do you want to give that favor away? No, if it's only meant for one person.
And your body is a temple. Your body is a
yes.
temple, and it houses
yes.
your spirit. And it's just, I mean, when I talk to teens, I do a lot of youth programs too, and I try to instill in them a sense of self-worth and self-respect that your body is a temple. Your soul lives there, and it's not about the physical feelings and the physical things that you can get involved in. And if you have to have that validation and that love, bring it from within, because self-love, it begins inside of you.
Yes.
Love comes from within, and it's always there. It's always there. Yes, it's great to have mentors and role models and concerned people who are giving you that what you need, but it first starts with you. You've got to realize that you are beautiful regardless of what you see in the media, regardless of these airbrushed models that you see on these advertisements in these magazines. They're not even real. Don't compare yourself with that, or it's going to just destroy your self-esteem even more so.
Right. And I have each girl look in the mirror and find something that they like about themselves. And tell yourself tell yourself every day that that is beautiful. And if it's, whether it's your nose, whether it's your hips or your waistline or whatever it is beautiful. It is you. And you are the best you that anybody else can be. There's nobody better than you. You are the most
right.
beautiful. And so I give them, like in my book, I Promise Me, it's a book that it holds themselves accountable to the things they promise themselves. Which
mm-hmm.
What I've done is I've created a book that it gives them some inspiration. It uplifts them, makes them, it also makes them think. It makes them hold themselves accountable to themselves as well as promises to their parents that they would do, you know, stick to curfew, do their homework, get good grades. And then I make them write out, there's a section where they write out their own promises to themselves. And I put positive affirmations in there, some scripture and a prayer that I wrote for them. And basically what the purpose of the book is for when they get into a bind or a situation or they are flustered and they go to their best friend and the best friend just doesn't understand and they can't get a hold of their mother, nobody's understanding them. They can go back to this book and they can remind themselves of the things that they told themselves they would not allow to happen that's compromising to themselves, like a relationship with a boyfriend that's maybe verbally abusive or he's pressuring her to have sex. Go back to this book and remember what you said you would not do. It's like a little handbook for them to take with themselves to have as a reference to something when they get frustrated and flustered, and to keep them on the keep them focused and on the right path to what it is that what their purpose is, which is to live life, get good grades, get out of high school, go to college, live that, you know, live life to the fullest, and worry about all the other things that really have no business for us, you know, as kids to be dealing with anyway, because you're going to, when you get to become a grown-up, you stay a grown-up for longer than you stay a teenager. So enjoy your
That's
teenage
right.
and your youth years as long as you can enjoy them. And trust me.
And you can't go back.
Right. All that stuff is waiting for you. It'll be there. I wish I would have learned that when I was younger. But
exactly.
So yeah, I just
and I also think it's important to for the teenagers who are listening or the parents, teenage girls specifically and boys too, but more so girls, try to surround yourself with friends who are like you. Don't put yourself in the position of being pressured. Don't hang around. And like you said, Chantel, in your situation, you were hanging around girls and you were trying to be accepted and you wanted to fit in. And because these girls were saying they was doing these things, well, you wanted to do them too. But if you try to surround yourself with friends who have a sense of self-worth or who do respect their bodies and they want to, you know, save this precious gift that they possess, and you can only give it away once. You only have one opportunity to give away that precious gift. Surround yourself with young girls who get that, who live that, who believe that, who are connected to a higher power. They understand who they are and whose they are. Try to surround yourself with those types of things and get involved in some programs that are in your church or in your community. That, you know, they're advocates for safe sex or they're advocates for being a healthy teenage girl who has self-esteem and who loves themselves first. There are so many things that you can do to, you know, to get out of that toxic environment and just help keep the positive people in your life that can keep you on the straight and narrow.
Yes, ma'am, there are. There are lots out there.
And there are many programs, too, in your communities. And I would encourage you to, you know, just do a Google search on teenage programs or Girl Scouts, Big Brothers, Big Sisters. And, you know, check out Chantel's website. I think it's a fantastic name. Just say, let me see, I think you said the website was www.whydoisayyes.com. Check that out. That sounds like a fantastic name. I just love the mantra there. Just, you know, the name of the site, it, you know, speaks volumes. And, you know, you really should be saying no. You should be saying no. Unless this boy has talked to you and you've been together for a while and you're planning your future, you've met his family and all the families have met and you know everything there is to know about him, even then it's not a good idea to engage in unprotected sex. Even then it's not a good idea to engage in sex before marriage. I am a big advocate for that. A big African for that. So I love what you said, Chantel, earlier about the open communication. Mothers who are listening, single parents who are listening, please, please keep the lines of communication open. Don't trick your daughter into saying, well, you can come to me, and then when they come to you, you reprimand them. Please don't do that. Please.
That's the worst thing you can do, because in my situation, I went to my mother about a situation and she shunned me away and I never, ever went back.
I had to build up
my nerve and my courage just to ask. And when I got it built up and then when I presented, and I understand as an adult now that I caught her off guard, she didn't know what to do and she didn't know how to answer me, and her first, you know, first thing a person's going to do is sleep. So you're going to fly, you know, so she took flight. Instead of addressing the issue. But
exactly.
It's a learned behavior.
Exactly.
It's what she did. So what I did was I broke that generational curse, and my children, the two that I have, a boy and a girl, when they first knew, I thought they liked a girl or a boy, I sat them down, I talked to them, I educated them, I made sure they knew everything they wanted to know. And fortunately, they both graduated high school, about to graduate college, no babies. My daughter is still a virgin. I'm hoping my son's
fabulous.
Is still out. And they are 22
fabulous.
And 23 years old.
Outstanding. That is wonderful. And I am so glad. We're coming up on our last 60 seconds of the show, and I knew this conversation was going to go very, very quickly. And I do appreciate you coming on. I do
Thank
appreciate you,
for
you coming
me.
On. Absolutely, absolutely, and sharing your amazing story. You are just a shining light. You're an example for so many young women. And everybody listening, please visit her website. Visit Chantel's website, www.whydoisayyes.com, and it is spelled exactly the way it sounds. Visit her website. We appreciate you listening in, and email me if you want to. If you didn't get all of this, you can listen back in the archives to get what you missed, because all of our shows are archived, and you can download 24/7 anytime, day or night. So thanks again for listening. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for supporting our show. We will be back same time next week here on the Living by Design show. Have a blessed evening. Good night, everyone.